continue on a story here that's been going for, I mean, all summer. It's really, to me, I think this has been the story of the summer so far. And someone who we've been having on to talk about this, because we, especially in the golf world, Bruno and I are not the, we're not the cream of the crop here. Is that fair to say, Bruno?
That's what other people say about me, but I like to think, what's that? It's one of those mental effects where it's the average person thinks they're better at things than they are. That's what I think of me in golf. You know, I've never played a round of golf in my life, but I think in my head, like, I would go out there and beat you.
Yeah, there's just no shot on that, by the way. But, you know, hey, you know, it's fun to dream. It's fun to think about things. You know, that's always good. But so we wanted to get someone on who has much more invested in this. And, of course, who else better than the senior writer for Golf Digest, Matthew Rudy. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rudy Ryder. Matt, how you doing, my man?
Oh, you guys are definitely you might not be the bottom of the barrel, but you're closer to the cream of the crop. Come on.
Oh, thank you. We're rising. We're rising right now. That's what's happening. So there's so many ways we can take this with so much just in the last 3 days, Matt, that things have kind of popped off for golf just as a whole. Obviously, the LIV PGA Tour battle has still been going on. The recent thing that I want to talk about is Cameron Smith, who I think all the rumors are, I guess there's nothing official about it unless I'm wrong. Maybe something's changed the last time I looked at it. But Cameron Smith was offered $100 million to go and join LIV Golf. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the story. But it's a lot like the stories that Tiger Woods turned down $700 or $800 million. I want to wait and see when the ink is actually dry before I just believe numbers that get thrown out. Now I will say, if you're trying to continue to destabilize the PGA Tour, taking the reigning British Open champion and the reigning Players Championship champion and the number two player in the world, that would be a good place to start. And it would make sense to take a guy who's from Australia, given that the LIV Tour is going to have three stops in Australia next year. So all of that makes sense. And, I mean, I think where there's smoke, there's probably fire. But I also know Cameron Smith is in the best leverage position he's probably ever going to be in his career right now, with two tours clamoring for him. There's all kinds of endorsement ideas that go with that. And whether he's going or not going, I think it's wise just to take a breath and figure out what he's going to do next and not get pushed on in a press conference to say something he doesn't mean.
Which, of course, he's already been asked here with the FedEx Cup coming up. And he said no comment. When you hear that no comment, is that like, you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, that no comment, those two words might be actually be worth 1,000,000 words, and maybe in more in this case, 100 million words?
I mean, I guess But also he sees what happened to other players. Brooks Koepka said no and came out and did a press conference and said he was going to stay on the PGA Tour. And presumably they asked him some, you know, they offered him some more money and he changed his mind. And you know, if you answer the question however you answer it, if you answer it definitively one way or the other way, or you do what he did, I think you're trying to create a scenario where at the beginning of the playoffs you put distractions away. And I don't know that the way he handled it is exactly the way I would teach, but it is a way that for him shuts down the conversation. You know, he is trying to win $15 million in FedEx Cup playoff money. So let's pretend for now that he's not leaving and that's the focus of his next few weeks. It certainly would make sense to me. You know, as an athlete, I think if you went and asked Tom Brady about his contract extension at the Super Bowl press conference, he probably wouldn't talk about that either.
We're talking with Matthew Rudy. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rudy Ryder. He's verified on Twitter, so it makes a lot easier. not like myself, who's still unverified. Bruno Reagan, you're verified. Say hello to Matthew Rudy.
What up, Matt? I wanted to, Matt, something that's perplexed me with this whole thing is motive. That's my thing, right? Now, I've been a part of a few startups in my career, not in golf, but in the football world. I've done a whole little XFL thing. I've done a little USFL thing. And the thing that we always preach, even to players, is the product, right? That's the thing that's going to keep us alive. That's the thing that's going to let us grow. You know, how it just doesn't seem, from my outsider perspective, it doesn't seem sustainable to just poach players and then stream your games on YouTube and expect, you know, someday for this thing to turn into a big thing. Do you see Liv, you know, being a, can you nail down a real motive or plan that they have for the short term, or is this kind of everyone's guessing game right now?
Well, I mean, I think you're right that if you look at it from a logical kind of business model perspective, it doesn't make sense. However, business models don't apply when you have unlimited money, number one. And number two, all of the things that they've done have been so destabilizing to the tour. Look at all of the very dramatic things the PGA Tour has done to try to fend off this threat. So certainly inside the halls of the PGA Tour headquarters, they're worried that this is a real threat to that business. So, I mean, whether it's sustainable long-term or not, it is a threat. And I think there's all kinds of outcomes that would satisfy the LIV Tour and the Saudi Wealth Fund. They could certainly be, firing shots across the PGA Tour in an effort to make this such a painful and expensive battle that the tour comes to the table to negotiate some kind of arrangement where they work together. And then all this just becomes short-term startup money, and now you're plugged into presumably a bigger, TV pie that's affiliated with the PGA Tour, and basically you spent this money as groundwork, for a television deal or for a network deal. There also could be something else coming where the LIV folks just buy something like the Golf Channel. And all of a sudden, instead of worrying about finding a TV deal, they have an entire network. And given the money they have, that's not a crazy and or difficult thing to do. So I don't have the money in my checking account or in my rainy day fund to take some of the steps that they do. But they're playing with a different wallet than we are. So, the game could be more expensive or longer than we anticipate.
Matt, I've never even thought about that. That we're talking about them just buying players right now, but I mean, they could easily afford a Golf Channel or something like that to where they just essentially monopolize golf and the medium outlets. I mean, that's an actual scary future. We talk about with the football side of things right now with NFL, how you have now all these streaming platforms that are coming out and fighting for NFL Sunday Ticket right now with
it's
Apple
so
streaming.
Decentralized, but LIV could centralize golf viewership.
Yeah, right? They could simply take that over. And what would that do for the game of golf? We're going into, it's 10 cap territory here, Matt, but if that happens and LIV does this, because once again, just like what Bruno's saying and we've been saying ourselves, there is no real motive here other than just get the best players they can and grabbing someone like possibly Cameron Smith or maybe Xander Schauffele, whose names also went around the carousel, or different high-end players or world-ranked players. What do you think that would do to the game of golf if they did start taking over some of those media outlets?
I think there's two answers to that question. What would it do to tournament golf or, TV golf or competitive golf that where we watch professionals play? It would have a dramatic effect on it, and it already has. The PGA Tour is pumped, going on $100 million more into their purses over the next couple of years as a direct response to what the LIV Tour is doing. And they've changed around the qualifications, and they've pushed more of the money onto the table for the top-tier players and took some of it away from the Korn Ferry graduates. And all those things are in direct response to what LIV has done. And you're right. If they poach players and there are more LIV events with 30 or 40 top players but only go 54 holes, and that means those players aren't playing in majors, it means that the fields are watered down for PGA Tour events. It means that major championship fields are watered down. I mean, just look what Masters fields are going to look like in the next couple of years if the Masters folks decide that LIV players can't qualify or they can't get in on world ranking points or however you want to call it. I mean, the recent Masters winners have departed en masse to the LIV Tour. So I think it damages that product. I don't think it means anything to the game itself, meaning, the people that go play at the club in your town this coming weekend. You know, people who are buying drivers and buying golf balls. I think, you know, if you ask rank and file golf fans, more golf on TV, you know, different formats of golf to watch, and some kind of arena where young players can come up and prove themselves and show that they have charisma, that they're great players, and that they can be stars. That's what people, you know, the average, you know, golf person who plays golf and watches it, you know, 6 or 8 times a year on TV, that's what they're looking for. And I don't think this has even grown up to be a, you know, some kind of huge problem for them. They're watching billionaires argue with millionaires. And in the NFL, any sport, that gets pretty boring for the average fan pretty fast.
Talking with Matt Rudy, he's the senior writer for Golf Digest. Follow him on Twitter at Rudy Writer. This idea, I've been kind of flirting with this idea of live golf, and I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. You know, how can you have unlimited money and you're trying to do something against the PGA Tour, which is grab all of their, you know, their talent. Do you feel like their strategy, because the second we started hearing about Cameron Smith was basically right after he won the British Open, around that time when the rumor started floating around him going to live golf. Do you feel like that possibly they're just going to wait to see who wins the next, you know, whether it be the FedEx Cup or whatever, the next major or whatever it is, whoever wins and has that marquee name, that they're just the next up on the radar for live golf?
Sure. I think there's a method to it. I'm sure they've done research to figure out who moves the needle. They've timed the releases and the announcements to keep surfing along in the news cycle, and they want to let the players play themselves into contention for some of those spots too. I think there's a geography element to it. You know, getting a Japanese player, getting an Australian player, you know, getting players from Europe, all those things are really important. I don't think it's a big mystery that the players that made the PGA Tour, you know, the social media influence bonus money from last year, it's not a big surprise that list has been picked over pretty aggressively by Liv too, because I think one thing they do understand where the tour's weakness is appealing to a younger demographic, fans that consume golf or consume any kind of sports coverage differently than I do or my dad does or your dad does. I think the time is coming where having a smaller broadcast window and having ways to root for a team, not just root for a player, all those things I'm sure come from research that says the market for PGA Tour golf and the person that's watching a PGA Tour telecast on Sunday for 4 or 5 hours, those days are coming to a close because they just don't have, number one, that's an older demographic, and they just don't have the energy that NFL broadcast might have, where you might actually get someone to watch two consecutive games. They're trying to pack more action, watch more shots, you know, and get in and get out. And I think that's something the PGA Tour should look at to try to steal from Liv, because, you know, the NFL does the best job changing rules, changing things every year to keep fresh. That this is what, you know, Liv is really going to force the tour to do that.
Now, this will be the final question, and I'll make it non-Liv related there, Matt, because I understand that's all we seem to care about on this show. It really gets under our skins. We love it so much. What is your prediction with the, I mean, it's here in Tennessee, down there at TPC Southwind. What is your prediction for the FedEx St. Jude Championship going on this weekend?
Who's my winner?
Yeah, sure.
I love to pick the talented players who don't need to have a game to win a tournament, and that's somebody like Jon Rahm. You know, when you look at what, for example, Cameron Smith did, he's a fantastic player, but he just doesn't have the same horsepower off the tee that someone like Jon Rahm does, someone like Rory McIlroy does. But what's made this really hard this year is the Liv factor is in the money and the talk of the money. It's such a massive distraction and disruption. It's almost like the name, image, likeness stuff in college football. There's so much of that going around, it's very hard to predict recruiting classes and to kind of go through your normal process. So I'm kind of like putting my hands up in the air and just, I think I'm going to just watch the tournament and see what happens.
Don't blame you. Matt, thanks so much for jumping on. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Rudy Writer, senior writer for Golf Digest. Matt Rudy has been our guest. Thank you so much, my man. We're definitely going to get you on in the future. Always appreciate you coming on.
You bet. See ya.
Once again, go follow him on Twitter, @RudyRider. That,